ready, part deux. Go ahead. All right, am I going? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just thank God for everything that He's done for me. You know, God can never, we can never get to the point where we say there's not more of God that we want. We can never get to the point where we've had too much of Him. God is an infinite being. There's no end to His days. He is the Ancient of Days. That means before there were even days, He was still the Ancient of Days. Before they were even created. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Today the sermon is titled, The Gift My Father Promised. There are different types of gifts in the Bible. Some gifts are given out of adoration. Now if you remember that the gifts that the wise men brought from Parthia, they were gifts of adoration to King Jesus. Some gifts are given in exchange for something else. Sometimes there would be kings of Israel or Judah who would give gifts to other kings as tribute in order to protect them. This was exchanged for something else. Gifts can also be given out of love for someone. If you studied the Jewish wedding, you know that the groom would give his bride gifts as a sign of his love for her, and Jesus has given us the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Gifts can also be given out of an obligation, such as to fulfill a vow, which there are plenty of different types of vows, free will offerings and things in the Bible. But I want you to go to John chapter 4. I'm already there. My goodness, I didn't even know. Praise the Lord. John chapter 4. But I do hope and pray that you on CD were hoping to hear a right now word from God, and I hope that you here today were hoping to hear a right now word from God, because God is a right now type of God. He doesn't wait till tomorrow. He doesn't wait till the fight's over. He may wait till it seems like there's nothing left in you. He may wait till it seems like you've got nothing left, that you've got little strength. But when you've got little strength, mighty is God in your life, because when we are weak, He is strong. In our greatest weakness, He manifests His strength. We ought to be so blessed by God that we let it make us weak, so He can be a little stronger. Hallelujah. I'm experiencing that right now. Praise the Lord. John chapter 4, verse 4. Now He had to go through Samaria. This is talking about Jesus. So He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob, or Jacob, had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as He was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How come you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." You have to understand that Jews and Samaritans did not talk. For Jesus to talk to this woman, He is showing, this is a social barrier that He's breaking. Go to verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." Keep going to verse 14. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you go to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as also his sons and flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give him will bring in him a spring of water, welling up unto eternal life." I want you to understand something very interesting about Jacob's well. Jacob's well was over 100 feet deep. So when we talk about the women going down into the well to get water, we think that the water was on top and they just went by. No, there was some climbing that had to be done. This is a deep well. Jesus is showing us something here. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But I wanted you to notice in verse 10, Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God," the gift there, "and who it is who asks you for a drink, you would have asked Him, He would have given you living water." The Greek word for gift in this passage is the word doria. And it comes from a Greek word doron, which means a gift, especially a sacrificial gift. Now go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 4. "On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Stop right there. I want you to notice some things about this verse. Number one, Jesus refers to the gift. Now, in the Greek, in the King James version of the Bible, the Greek word gift is not found there, but it is implied, as I will show you from other verses later. But he mentions the gift, and he calls it a promise of the Father. Another thing to notice, he says, that you have heard me speak about it. So the disciples, not only is he's referring to the gift, it's something that the Father promised, but it's something that Jesus has talked about. Is there a gift from the Father that you don't want? Are you willing to hold back on God? Are you not willing to go all the way with Him? Because if you don't go all the way with Him, He won't go all the way with you. Then after referencing the gift, the doria of the Holy Spirit, He promised, He's spoken about, He says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, there is only one verse that I can find that is almost directly quoted word for word 6 times in the first 5 books of the New Testament. And that is the verse referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 1, verse 8. I mean, I'm going to go so fast through these, you're going to have to listen to this if you're trying to copy down along. And I'm not going to apologize for that. It's just that we've got a lot of word to get out, y'all. This is the last days. I can't stop and go verse by, I could do the same sermon for 6 straight weeks. And we'd still just be scratching the surface if we went through every single verse. Mark chapter 1, verse 8. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John chapter 1, verse 33. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. And Acts chapter 11, verse 15 through 16. Is the only verse I can find that is clearly quoted, just almost word for word, baptized with water, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to read one of these to you. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 through 14... Well, y'all just go ahead and turn there. We might as well. Let's read one of these. Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Now, this verse is repeated very similarly to this and Mark and Luke and also in John, and then we find it again in Acts, and then Acts 1 and also Acts 11. As far as the actual event, there are many instances of that, but we're just talking about a reference to it. A direct. All right, Matthew 3:11, it says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Turn the page if you've got it. Oh, I'm sorry, turn the page. Verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan and to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized you, and you come to me. Now, this same verse is repeated in the other Gospels. It's very interesting what John says. I have need to be baptized with you. What kind of baptism is he referring to? He's not referring to water baptism, because John's been preaching the whole time. Somebody else is going to come along, and he's not going to be baptizing you with water. He's going to be baptizing you with the Holy Ghost. John's telling him, I need to be baptized with water. Sir, you need to go ahead and baptize me. I've been preaching this whole time. You were coming. Why don't you just put your hands on me and give me some of that? I've been preaching to all these people about this promise. Lord Jesus, why don't you baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I've even heard one person put it this way. Baptism in water, while it is necessary, it is like a shadow of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need the baptism in water. Why? Because the Word says you got it, you need it. If the Bible says you need it, you need it. Trust me. You don't have to ask questions. You can ask questions in the kingdom later. You just need to do it. But water baptism, I'm getting ahead of myself now. Now go back. Now if you remember, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said to them, you would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit a few days from now. Tarry in Jerusalem, he says. And then what happened in Acts chapter 2? Go over to Acts chapter 2. Let's read. Some of you know this, but I want to read it. Because not everybody may be familiar with some of these verses. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, and by the way, this is not a one-time event. The day of Pentecost had been kept for over 1,500 years. The day of Pentecost is the day upon which the Torah was given on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. The reason why it's called Pentecost is because you count 50 days from the day after the Sabbath that falls during unleavened bread. So you take the Sabbath during unleavened bread, you count 49 straight days. Get what day is that? That's a Sabbath, right? And then the very next day is Pentecost. So Pentecost always falls on a Sunday. So I have some friends that say they're in the Methodist church and they talk about Pentecost being on Sunday. Well, if Pentecost is on Sunday, then guess what? The Sabbath is still on Saturday because you counted from... Because it's always on Sunday, because the Sabbath has always been on Saturday. Oh. Well, that really messes up some theology, doesn't it? They were all suddenly together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So, Jesus tells them they're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and here the event happens, and there are signs that show that this event is happening. What? There is a speaking in tongues. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet who... and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact, exalted to the right hand of God, and he has received, oh my, you better listen to what this says, from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you what? Now see and hear. So this was not a quiet event. This was not a sinner's prayer. And then 5 years later, you realize they finally quit doing everything. This was an instantaneous. When they got it, oh, trust me, they got it. Deaconess Clifford, if you please come forward. We have a demonstration here. I want to show you guys, I want to illustrate something. And if you're on CD, I'll give you a cue when. If you're on CD, what we have here is we have a pitcher of water. And we also have a glass here, and it's clear so you can see through it because I'm going to demonstrate a point. I just want you to put a little bit of water in that glass for me. All right, thank you. Now hold it up. Now you see that. Does that have water in it? Yes. When you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit.
Come on, tell it.
Okay? Now put it in the... Yeah, you can pour it back in there. Now put that cup in that little glass right there. Okay. Now I want you to pour it till it's overflowing. And when it overflows, I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm trying to illustrate a point here. Whew, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Whew, hallelujah. Oh, that's good. Oh, you can see when you're overflowing with the Spirit, there's an outflow there. There's an overflowing. I didn't pray in tongues to show off. I'm praying in tongues for the common good, to show you a purpose. The point here, the praying in tongues, it's the overflowing of the Holy Spirit. When the water was pouring out over the sides, go ahead and keep pouring. Woo, there's a sound. There's a noise. My goodness, I just can't take any more. Praise the Lord. I just got to let it out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Deaconess Clifford. I had to illustrate that point. Why? Because I want you to understand. If you've got the Holy Spirit's in you if you're saved. But there's a difference between having the Holy Spirit and salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's called infilling of the Holy Spirit. You get filled up and then you just get to a point where you just got to let it out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo! Some of y'all on CD wish y'all would have seen that. What's that saying we have here? Guess you should have come. Should have been here, right? But notice what he says in verse 32. I'm sorry, 33. Exalted the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. So, whatever this promised Holy Spirit is, it is what has just taken place. It is the speaking of tongues. There's no arguing about what he's referring to because he said, you see it and you hear it. It is undeniable that this is the promise. Ooh, but I want you to skip on down to verse 38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Stop. So he doesn't say you don't need to be baptized. Keep reading. And you will receive the Dorea of the Holy Spirit.
That's the same Greek word when Jesus was saying, I will give you the gift of God, the Doria. The Doria of the Holy Spirit. Oh, but look what he said in the next verse. We always overlook this. The promise. What promise is he referring to? The promise that was just poured out. But who's the promise for? Who's it for? It's for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So are you called? You ought to be seeking this if you're called. Doesn't mean you're not saved, but hey, this ought to be something you ought to be after. I like how Sister Kelly put it when her and Jerry first, I was talking to them one night, and talking about how when they first came to church, said, I'd never heard of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and tongues and all that, but I want to tell you what, when I checked it out in the Word, that's right, what I got to do to get it. That's the same way that we ought to be. Now, this that Peter is quoting is actually a prophecy in the Old Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, God would baptize people in the Holy Spirit, and I can give you some examples. In Exodus, I believe it is chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33, it says, I have anointed Bezalel, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding to do all that I have shown you on the mountain. Micah said, I am full of power and of the Spirit of God. There are people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, who were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke in tongues when it happened. It is known as prophesying when you read it in the Old Testament. But you have to understand, in the Old Testament, prophesying was done as an ecstatic utterance. That's what it's called. What does ecstatic mean? It comes from a Greek word ek, meaning out of. Stasis, meaning stationary. Oh, that means you're out of being stationary, and you're moving around. You're doing crazy stuff. You're rolling. It's all rolling around on the floor, prophesying, praying in tongues, having a good time in the Lord. You see, God in the Old Testament, He did that though. I'm saying this for point. He did that to show that His approval was on someone's life. And it was a foreshadowing of what He would do to people in the New Covenant. Can I prove it? Do I have a verse? Oh, I've got a verse. Actually, I had about a dozen that I could have gone to, but we're just going to go to one for time's sake. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 21. Woo-hoo! I'm just going to turn there. Isaiah chapter 58, I was going to read it off the page. Praise the Lord. If you're getting edified by this message, I better hear something out of you praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Isaiah. Ooh. Oh, man, I got the wrong chapter. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to read what it says anyways. It's in Isaiah. I copied. There were so many verses, I don't remember. There were so many, and a lot of them were in Isaiah. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me to find this verse. Okay, I found it. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 21. Listen to this now. Hear what the Lord's saying. St. Kelly, this is the word, y'all. Verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. Oh, this is a covenant. My Spirit who is on you and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or the mouths of your children or the mouths of their descendants from this time on forever. So when Peter says the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, he's referring to this verse. This is the promise of the Spirit. He put His words in you, not your own words. I can speak in English, but when His words are in me, it don't sound like English. It sounds like His words are coming out of me. The world was divided because all the languages of the world were the same. And because they were the same, all men came together and tried to exalt themselves to God. So God confounded man. He confounded the world's languages and they were divided. But I'm going to tell you something. On Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, God began to unite the body of Christ. He began to unite the one new man of the body of Christ with one new language, with the Spirit of God. I can speak in French, but you know what I'm speaking the language of God, so that when we all speak the same language in the Holy Spirit, we go up to the throne room of God. Hey, what happened is Babel is an antitype of what happened to the body of Christ today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love that revelation. The world was divided by languages, and then God brought men together by speaking different languages through the same Spirit. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo! Where are we going next? Okay. Now, I want you to understand that the Doria of the Holy Spirit is not just the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is what accompanies it. That's the Doria, what accompanies it. That's the sign you have it, so it's part of it. Just as a gift does not just have value of itself, it has value because of its use. There's sentimental value to things, but it has some kind of use. You either hang it on a wall, but I'm here to tell you, the gift of the Holy Spirit is not something you just hang on a wall and forget about it. It's valuable because of its use, what it does. Go to Acts chapter 8. Now I'm going to go through the book of Acts and show you more where this Greek word doria is used to refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I believe that every reference to the doria of the Holy Spirit is a reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because we're going to go through every one of them in the New Testament. And you'll see. Acts chapter 8. Now, let me get a swig of water. Hold on. Verse 18. Well, now let's go up to verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem had heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God. Hold on, I just got to read. Oh, hold on. Verse 13. Go back to verse 13. This is very important. Can't believe I overlooked this. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by great signs and miracles that he saw. You have to understand, when they were praying for people to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there was a sign, an outward sign. And so let's keep now, let's read on, having that understanding. Verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So wait, they've been baptized in water, but there's another baptism they're about to get. Verse 17. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them that they and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, read this. Watch now. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. Stop right there. Simon saw the Spirit had been given. How would he know they got the Spirit unless there was some kind of sign for them to recognize they got the Spirit? How do we know that the sign was tongues? Well, let's just go ahead and read verse 19. And said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Keep reading. Verse 20, Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the doria of God with money. You thought you could buy laying on hands for the baptism of the Holy Ghost with money. Go to Acts chapter 10. Oh, we're not finished. We got more to go. Acts chapter 10. Start with verse 44. I'll give you some background here. God has just shown Peter that he should not call any man common or unclean. He shows them this through the vision. A lot of people have falsely interpreted this to mean that he's saying you can eat pork. But if you read in verses 27 through 28, what he's saying is that you should not call any man. You see, the Jews had this rule that you could not fellowship with Gentiles or you would be unclean. And so he shows them the vision to show them, look, if I've cleansed it, look, it's okay. You can associate with these Gentiles. They're saved. Okay, that's what happens. If you read verse 27 through 28, he says very clearly. Verse 44, Acts 10, 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. All who heard the message. Woo, verse 45. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the doria of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. They received the doria of the Holy Spirit. Oh, but let's keep reading. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So wait, these Gentiles received the Holy Spirit just as they had. What did that mean? They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. That's what he says. Then they were baptized in water. Now let's go to Acts chapter 11, verse 15. He's retelling this to his Jewish brothers, and look what he says. as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as He had come on us in the beginning. How did the Holy Spirit come on them in the beginning? They were speaking in new tongues. Verse 16, then I remembered what the Lord said. So wait, the Lord had been talking to him about this. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same doria, says that's the Greek word for gift there, if God gave them the same gift as He gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verse 8. Acts 15, 8. God who knows the heart showed that He accepting them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as He did to us. How did they receive the Holy Spirit? They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in new tongues. Very clear what He's saying, just as we did in the beginning. Oh, let's go to Acts chapter 19. We're not finished. We've got places to go. Trust me, we have got places to go. Acts chapter 19. Verse 1. When Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Some churches are just that way. That's just the way it is some places. Anyways, they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Again, speaking in tongues with the doria of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to shift gears for just a moment, and I'm going to begin to show you from Paul's letters where he uses this word, doria, and he begins to use it in a sense where he's getting a lot deeper than we might normally think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 5. Now, I do want to differentiate for just a moment between different kinds of tongues and this doria of tongues that we read in Acts chapter 10. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul begins to speak about spiritual gifts. And the Greek word he uses there for gift is the word charisma, or charismata in the plural. And it is a word that refers to a free gift. It's a free gift. And when he begins to discuss these free gifts that are given among the body of Christ, he says they're for the common good, and he says among them are different kinds of tongues. And when he references different kinds of tongues, the Greek phrase he uses there is heteros genos glossa. And it refers to a different kind of tongue than what normally manifests. Can I prove that? Yes. Just a few verses earlier, Paul says that to some in the body of Christ are given the charisma of heteros faith. You see, there is a general faith among all believers. We all have to believe. We all have faith. But the spiritual gift is of a different kind. So in 1 Corinthians 12, when he's talking about the charisma of the different kinds of tongues, it's of a different kind than the common tongues that manifest among all believers. So I do want to differentiate that, because Paul says at the end of his letter, at the end of chapter 12, he says, do all speak in tongues? But if you read the entire chapter, twice he refers to the different kinds of tongues. So if you read in context, he is referring to, do all have the different kinds of tongues? Yeah. No, not all have the different kinds of tongues, but all have this doria of the Holy Spirit. And as we read these verses deeper, as we get deeper into this, you're going to see that it is a gift for everyone. What did Peter say? It was for all who were called, for you, your children, and afar off. Whoever's called, this promise is for. So, while not everyone can stand up and give a message in tongues as their gift, that's not for everybody. Some people will have it, some won't. But this prayer language he gave to you is. It is for everyone. It's for everybody. Now, and I grew up in the Baptist church, And we didn't speak in tongues. We did, but we believe very strongly in salvation, and those people are saved. I do believe that, but I'm not talking about salvation. You have to understand. That's why I did the demonstration. Maybe we'll have another demonstration later, right, of the Spirit's power. But the demonstration, illustration right here in front of you to help you understand that. Okay, because I'm not condemning you in any way if you don't speak in tongues. I'm trying to get a point across because you have to understand that Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. He came to divide and conquer. He came to take things out of the Word that belong there. And we have to preach so strongly on some things because Satan has so strongly opposed it. We have to preach so strongly on the Sabbath because the devil has worked so hard to rob it out of the hearts of people who are saved in the body of Christ. They'll come along and tell you that Jesus changed it. He resurrected on Sunday. Jesus resurrected on Saturday right before sundown. How can I prove it? He died before sundown, so 3 days and three nights later it would be before sundown. That's why they went at night while it was still dark, because the new day began at sunset. There are things that Satan has perverted over generations that we have to preach very strongly on. And so understand that. I'm not condemning you, okay? I sought it 4 months before I got it, okay? I didn't even know what it was, and I was seeking it. I saw it in the Word. Somebody told me there were spiritual gifts. I started reading. I started getting into tongues and different other spiritual things. And I blew my mind. I'd never heard these things taught on. So there's a seeking involved. That's why Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened. It will be given unto you. And then he says, how many of you, if you have a son and he asks you for an egg, would you give him a snake or a scorpion? No, how much more will you receive the Holy Spirit from the Father if you ask him of it? So a lot of Christians don't have it because they don't know what it is. They've never received it before. They have no clue what the baptism, or they have been taught false doctrine, things that are not true in the Word, and it has prevented them from coming to this understanding. But I do want you to understand that it is true, and we are all living testimonies of that. I'll never forget this one time on Pentecost in 2008. We had a new young lady by the name, a new couple, Brian and Jessica Newman had just come, and Jessica had torn ligaments in her knee, and we were praying over her in tongues, and she began, those ligaments grew back. How do I know they grew back? Because everybody had hands on her, but my hands were on the knee. I felt them come back. You can't tell me my sense of feeling didn't fail, but between the time we started praying and the time those ligaments grew back, she went back to the doctor, and they said, there's nothing wrong with your knee. We don't need to do surgery. So, the man with the argument is never at the mercy of a man who has an experience. And an argument. Praise the Lord. That's why we're going through so many of these verses. We have to rightly divide the word of truth. We cannot be ashamed. Don't be ashamed for the things that you believe. Don't be ashamed for speaking in tongues. Don't be ashamed for going to church on the Sabbath. You need to rightly divide the word of truth so that you're not ashamed. If somebody makes you feel ashamed, you better rightly divide what you're believing. You better make sure it's the truth, because you're supposed to be a workman. It takes work to rightly divide the truth. I didn't get these things overnight. It took years of studying the word of God. It took years of searching and seeking after God to get the things that I'm preaching to you today. It didn't just come to me overnight. It was work. Well, you want to be his workman? Rightly divide the word of truth. Don't get caught up in false doctrine and the conspiracies of this world. We need to be caught up in rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to get on with the sermon. Woo. Romans chapter 5. Before I read this verse, we're going to start in verse 15. As I just referenced, there are many words in the New Testament for gift, really, there are. But two of them are used here in verse 15. Now I'm going to read verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Stop right there. Now, the first part of 15, he says, the gift is not like the trespass. The Greek word used for gift there is charisma. And it refers to a free gift. So we refer to salvation as the free gift. This is the same Greek word Paul uses when he says in Romans 6:23, he says the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God, the charisma of God, is eternal life. It's the free gift. It is what he gives to all men. Now, the second Greek word he uses, I'm going to read the rest of the verse. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? This word for gift is the Greek word, oh, if you haven't guessed by now, come on, doria. The doria that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow unto the many. Let's keep reading. Verse 16, again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespasses of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the doria of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is how you fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. And he tells you that right here. I'm going to read this one more time. Verse 17. For by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the doria of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? You can't keep all the commandments if you don't have all the Spirit. You've got to have all the Spirit. That's why three chapters later, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 4, that the Spirit of God was given to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. What kind of Spirit do you need? You need the doria of the Spirit. He told you three chapters earlier. If we'd been paying attention, we'd have understood the first time we read it. The doria of the Holy Spirit is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that the righteous requirements of the law might be, how does he word it, fully met in us. Fully, we've got to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, oh my. But can I quote you another verse? And Galatians chapter 5. Oh, you might as well just turn there. I'm feeling this. Galatians chapter 5. Oh, the book where Paul did away with the law. Uh-huh, well, let's just read what it really says. The whole book of Galatians is not about Paul doing away with the law, because Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, that the Spirit of God is one of the promises of God. Oh my, the promise? Ooh, we just went over that promise, did we not? I'm going to read that too. We might as well while we're over here. Galatians chapter 3, we're in the same neighborhood. Let's take a little visit. Knock on this. Oh, it's going to be open for somebody today. I'm believing that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. What promise is he referring to? He's referring to the promise that's been preached the whole Bible. The promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But look what he said in verse 21. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. Why does he say this to the Galatians? Because you see, there were Judaizers who were telling them that unless you got circumcised, you ain't saved. Paul's trying to tell them that you can't keep the law on your own and be saved. That's why he says, no man shall be justified by works of the law. But let's just slip on over to chapter 5 for just a minute of Galatians. Ooh, let's start with verse 1. I better get some water. Ooh. We got plenty of time. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Stop right there. The yoke of slavery is trying to be saved under your own works. What did Jesus say? My burden is easy and my yoke is light. You see, when you get saved in Jesus, the yoke comes off your neck. The burden is easy, the yoke is light in Jesus Christ. It is trying to be saved on your own strength. It's making up rules. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? He said, you put all kinds of burdens on people they can't keep, but you ain't willing to lift a finger. Let's keep reading verse 2. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to at all to you. Again, I declare that every man that lets himself be circumcised, he is obligated to obey the whole law. What's he saying there? Is that really you think you can be saved by your own works? Go ahead. If you're circumcised, you better follow it to the T. Because if you break it in one point, you've fallen away from God. You have fallen away from Christ. Why is Paul so much on circumcision in this book? It's because their intent for being circumcised, they felt like it was an entrance into the body of Christ. But Christ tore down the wall of division. He tore down the wall of partition, that there may be one new man, Jew and Gentile, together, one citizenship in Israel. Is Paul against circumcision? I want to point this out too. Paul circumcised Timothy. Woo! Acts 16, 1 through 3. So, is he preaching against circumcision? Now, we don't believe in circumcision for converts, by the way. He's not preaching against circumcision in this book. He's preaching against their intent. That's what the whole Bible's about. It's about your intent. Why are you doing what you're doing? I can prove that he means that too. Let's keep reading verse 4. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Oh my. You better highlight verse 5 or underline it if you do that in your Bible. Verse 5. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17, we read, the doree of the Holy Spirit leads unto righteousness. In Romans chapter 8, the Spirit's given so that the righteous requirements of the Spirit of the law would be met in us. And it's through the Spirit He's telling them the righteousness that you're hoping for. You Galatian believers, you want to live by Torah. You want to do what's right. But let me tell you something. It's got to be done through the Spirit of God. That's how you achieve the righteousness that's found in the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23, Jesus said, I say Jesus because Jesus is our lawgiver. James 4:12. Jesus said, no man can know the Father but that he first know me. The Jews in the Bible, they only know Jesus. They don't know the Father because they have not yet known the Son. They can't know the Father, but they first know the Son. But I'm trying to prove a point here. Let me understand where I was at. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. Jesus said, for if you will do these things, it will be your righteousness. If you will follow all these commandments, it will be your righteousness. You can't do it on your own. That's the message. That's the message God's trying to tell you through the whole Bible. You can't do it, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. That's in the Old Testament. Oh my, that only uninspired page you got says New Testament. There's only one Testament. There's only one testimony. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because the testimony of Jesus Christ is the Spirit of prophecy. God reveals everything to His servants, the prophets, and He revealed it to Jesus Christ before He revealed it to anybody else. And He spoke His Word into existence in the beginning. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh my goodness, somebody praise the Lord. Well, let's get back to the subject here. Let's get back to the point. It's through the Spirit of God that the righteousness which we wait for is eagerly met. But it's through the doria of the Holy Spirit. The whole thing. You got to have all of Him. Do you want? Is Jesus coming back for a bride who don't want Him? Lord, I want to date you, but I don't want to romance you, Lord. Come on now. There are daters and there are romancers of the Lord. Some people go to church just every once in a while. And they date the Lord. They just date Him. Some people are romancers. When they get in the presence of the Lord, they just don't want to go anywhere. Oh, I just love it. I don't want to even leave. I don't want to go home. So what are you? Because I'm telling you, in order to be seeking all of God, you got to have all His Spirit. That's why the virgins who got rescued had their lamps full of oil. They wanted everything that they could get. Oh, the Lord's fitting to come back. I don't want to miss out on this. I better get myself ready for that. Now, back to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Understand what Paul is saying here. Again, I'm going to get a little deeper. I'm getting another level in here. Warp 9, Scotty, beam me up. Romans 5:15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more to God's grace? And the gift, or the doria, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many. Paul's referencing the resurrection of the dead. In Ezekiel chapter 37, God said that He is going to resurrect the entire house of Israel. He's going to put His Spirit in them. Talks about being filled with the Spirit in Ezekiel 39. He references that. He says, fill them with the Spirit. And if God's going to do it for them, He's going to do it for everybody. Everybody's going to... The doria overflows unto the many. Now we like to preach, the people like to preach, that only a few people get saved. But when Jesus said, broad is the way, many there be in there, He's referring to the tribulation. Because just a few verses later, He says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast all these demons out in Your name? Lord, didn't You move on behalf of the anointing in our lives? And He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew You, you worker of lawlessness, you worker of torlessness. That's the many He's referring to in that verse. Because I want to show you something. In verse 19, He says, I'm sorry, verse 20. Oh, hold on. I'm totally just... Verse 18. Now we'll start in 17. Y'all guys, can y'all count? Verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the doria of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. God's going to resurrect every man. Every man's going to receive the doria of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, if you didn't understand the doria they preached about when you read your Bible back here in John, if you didn't understand it back here in Luke and in Acts, when you get to this point, you don't understand what he's saying. He's going to bring up every person who hasn't received Jesus Christ, and he is going to fill them with the Holy Spirit in one moment. Talk about a Holy Ghost revival. Billions of people. Why is that? Why is that? Because God's not a loser. Y'all ever play video games? You don't like losing, do you? You didn't do something right if you lost. You messed up. You lost your focus. You didn't press the buttons right. Whatever you did, you lost. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus ain't losing the souls of mankind. Jesus, it says in the Word of God, He's the Father of the spirits of all mankind. Jesus ain't losing nobody. He's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says in Romans chapter 11, verse 32, He's bound all men over to disobedience. He may have mercy on them all. But you have to understand there are a few who still don't make it in because they, after being resurrected and seeing the Lord face to face, they still decide they want to be crazy and idiots. And guess what? That's why in Hebrews it says only many sons are brought to glory, because there were a few who decided not to. So that's why you see in the Bible, you see few, you see many, you see all in this Romans verse. Justification is for all men, so all men will be saved. But you have to understand that only many will be made righteous. Only many will accept that doria. Ooh, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're one of those who don't like the baptism of the Holy Ghost now, what happens? What's going to happen when you get resurrected and filled with the Holy Ghost? You're going to have a problem with it. It's kind of like those preachers Perry Stone talks about that don't like people wearing jewelry. The Bible says Jesus is going to have a gold belt on. What are they going to do when they see Jesus? What are you going to do when you stand around a bunch of people praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost? Billions of them praying in tongues. I can't wait for that. It's going to be a Holy Ghost breakout, y'all. I'm telling you, woo, we think we got it going on when we got 30, 40 people in the house. You know what I'm saying? Imagine a few billion people, dozens of billions of people coming up at one time, instantly getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's going to be some tongues and prophesying and all kinds of things going on. Praise the Lord. There won't be any need for laying on of hands. We'll all be healed at that point. But praise the Lord. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 through 24. He says, because of Adam, all men die, so in Christ, all men will be made alive. How is a person brought from death to life? The Spirit of God. So if you're dead and brought alive, you got the Spirit somewhere along the line. There's no way you can stand in the presence of God face to face like that and not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, and as Hebrews says, many sons are brought to glory. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the glorified Jesus Christ. That's why no one could receive the Holy Spirit until he had been resurrected. No one could receive the living waters which bring salvation, the living waters that flow out of your belly. Because if baptism in water is fully immersed in his death and being raised to life, then baptism in the Holy Spirit is a full immersion in his resurrection. Hallelujah. What did Peter say when before he talked about the promise? Oh my, you better go there because I'm going to read. Oh, I don't have time. Oh my. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. No, it's not verse 38. It's 32 through 33. 31 through 33. He says, you will not let your Holy One see decay. And then he talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus resurrected is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the fullness of the resurrected Christ is his life. That's the fullness of the baptism of the Holy, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The full work of God comes complete in the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus ain't on a cross. He ain't been there in 2,000 years. And he ain't going back. He's already done that once again. We're not striking the rock again. Praise the Lord. We're going to be worshiping him on high. We're going to be walking around praising the Lord. Hallelujah. I look forward to the time when I can see the resurrected Jesus with those legs on fire like bronze. And with that gold belt shining like the sun. Because he's the light in my life, I hope he's the sun in your life. And I don't just S-O-N and the S-U-N in your life. Does he bring life to your life? The Father did not let Jesus see decay. So when he resurrected him, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He is that resurrection power. It says Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost without limit in John 3:34. And along with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's power that's endued from on high. Now that Greek word is dunamis. And I'm not going to go into too deep now. I will in a later sermon. But you see, the Dunamis that brought Jesus up from the dead, resurrected, is the same Dunamis God's trying to manifest in our lives. The same Dunamis. He wants to resurrect and manifest in our lives. So let me ask you this question. Do you believe? Praise the Lord. Do you believe that the Lord will let your life see decay? Because He's wanting to bring that power, that resurrection power in your life so that your life would not see decay. When you think that things are decaying in your life, things are falling apart, that's when God's going to come in and He's going to resurrect you. He's going to put an extra measure of power and of spirit in your life because He will not let His Holy One see decay. The Father would not let His Holy One see decay. He was brought up from the dead by the resurrection power. He was brought up from the dead because of the dunamis of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Now, there are other references to the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament. I'm just going over some of them. There are at least two, three, or four in the book of Romans. The whole 1 Corinthians, my goodness, you can't get away from it in that book. It's all over the New Testament. We just went over verses in the Gospels and everywhere that refer to it. 2 Corinthians 9, 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable doria. That's unspeakable. Because you see, it doesn't come with words spoken by men. Spoken with a... I'm sorry, the more you think about tongues, sometimes you gotta laugh. It doesn't come by words, it's an indescribable doria. He's referring to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because in the verse before, they're talking about Him praying. Pray for me. Pray for me in the ministry. Pray for others. Thanks be to God for the indescribable gift, which they will use to pray for Him. The indescribable doria of the Holy Spirit. Because God has poured us all, He's poured us in our lives. The promise that the Father spoke beforehand, He spoke it in Psalms when He said, "You will not let your Holy One see decay." That's the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, bringing your dead life from the deadness of dry, dead church and dead things that you've been doing in your life and bringing you in the full living waters of the living Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is not dead. We don't serve a dead Savior. We don't serve a Jesus who's still on a tree. We don't serve a God who doesn't do miracles and wonders in your life and in mine. I'm telling you right now, it's even a wonder that we're breathing right now. It's a wonder that you can get up. Those are wonders. But the power of His Spirit comes when you've been beat down by work all week. When you've got children you've got to take care of. I don't know what that's like, but some of y'all do. You got children you got to take care of. You got personal responsibilities. But somehow you find the power to get through it all. Hallelujah. You find the power to get up on Shabbat and come to services to celebrate the Lord on His holy Sabbath. You get the power to obey. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's what you need when you most need it. It's that thing that will bring your life from decay to the fullness of life. It will set you on high. It will bring you into the fullness of a son or daughter of God. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. The book of Ephesians has at least four references to the baptism of the Holy Ghost in it, and I'm going to go over two of those right now. And most people don't even know that they're there because they don't understand the doria. That's not a knock against other people, they just don't know. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the doria of God's grace given me through the working of His dunamis. You see, wherever the baptism of the Holy Ghost is referenced in the New Testament, the dunamis is referenced. He is thanking God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for praying in the Spirit, for praying in tongues, as Jude says, which keeps us in the love of God. And he became a servant because of it. If you'll remember, and both in Acts and also other places in the Bible, there are different things Jesus talks about when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He talks about the dunamis. But it also references being witnesses, which is a martyr. It can also be translated as martyr. The baptism of the Holy Ghost gives you the power, the strength to undergo martyrdom for His name. But he also references work for the kingdom of God. When they got ready to have deacons in the church, did they just get, well, we like you, brother. We really like you. You've been coming to church. You've been helping and all that. No, they chose seven men full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. You see, you've got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to do the work of the kingdom of God. You can't do the work of the kingdom of God without it. You see, he gave the Holy Spirit baptism on the day of Pentecost, which is a day which prophetically represents the kingdom of God going from Jerusalem to the whole world like yeast, which goes throughout the body, which like yeast, which goes throughout the dough, because Jesus said the kingdom of God is like yeast, which a man put in dough, and it took over the whole thing. That was the beginning of the gospel going out. That was the beginning of the baptism of the Holy Spirit being poured out to take over and consume your entire life. How many of you know when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have more visions and dreams? They're clearer. You have more experiences with God. This is not something that is harmful. It's not something to be scared of. It's something that you should want. Because the promise is for all who are called. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us grace has been given. I can't read in the NIV because the NIV leaves out the most relevant part of that verse right there for just a minute. King James, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the doria of Christ. Verse 8, that is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean? That he also descended into the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, to be prophets, to be evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, to prepare God's people, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. He talks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then he references five different offices that exist in the body of Christ. I want to share something with you. I'm going to read this verse again. But to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of the doria of the Christ. Jesus said, the measure that you meet, it shall be meted back unto you. What was the measure that he meet? He didn't take just some of the stripes. He took all the stripes. He took it to the full. He drank the cup of affliction that we drink at Passover. He drank it to the full, that your cup might be overflowing, that your cup might be full of grace, might be full of the Holy Spirit. He took the full measure of every sin, of every bad thing that we've done that we thought was good. Oh, we do the things that we think are good in our sight. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but in the end it leadeth unto death. It led unto his death first. Hallelujah. Because he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was meted unto him. And so if he was meted unto him, all the sacrifice, all the pain, all the suffering, the sickness, the death, the disease, and the sin, how much more shall the baptism of the Holy Ghost be measured and meted, shaken up, stirred, hallelujah, glory to God, brought into fruition in our lives. Praise the Lord. So, after referencing the doria, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what does he talk about? Jesus being resurrected. Why? Because the resurrected, that's the power in your life that you need. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the resurrection power. But then he begins to discuss the service of the kingdom of God. You've got to have the doria of the Holy Ghost for the fullness of the work. You need it. It's not that it's optional. I've gone over just some of these verses, and I've got one more I've got to go over. Because he says, in order for you to teach others, you need to operate, hear what I'm saying, operate in the measure of the doria as it has been given unto you. So, when we discuss that the manifestations of the gifts are a sign of God's grace in your life. If you'll go back and read grace and the baptism of the Holy Ghost referenced in each one of these verses, we've been reading almost every one of them. It talks about the grace and the doria, the gift of the doria and all that. That's the beginning gift. The doria of the Holy Spirit.
That's the starting place. The charismata flow out of that. You find in some places, they spoke in tongues, this happened. They spoke in tongues, that happened. It is the very base. It is the bottom. Just like the Torah is the very foundation of how you live your life, how you carry your flesh. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the foundation of how you operate in the Spirit of God. We've got one more verse to go to. I've gone through every single instance of Doria. It's all referencing the same thing. It's all referencing the same thing. The promise, the gift, the power, all references the same thing. Now some people will listen to this and say, Kelly, you're crazy. While I do not refuse to acknowledge that, I will say this. What we're about to go to is going to confirm everything that we've been talking about. We're talking about the Doria being the sacrifice, the sacrifice. You see, you got to understand, Jesus died for you to have that. So why wouldn't you want it? You want to take the bread but not the blood. Do you want half of Him? Because He died for you to have it. He took the full measure of beating in His body so that your body could house and hold His Holy Spirit. The full measure of beating so that you could have the bed, the Doria, the gift. It was a sacrificial gift. That's why in order for someone to receive it, they had to at least accept the sacrifice first. Sometimes you get that before water baptism. It happened to Cornelius. I know why God did it. I don't know why, but I can imagine why. Because you see, He said, repent, be baptized, you know, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I can imagine some people thought it was a formula. Well, we got to do this, 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 and then it'll happen. And it does happen that way for some people. But then Cornelius, He did something completely different just to mess them up. I could see God doing that. He does that way. He likes, whenever we start thinking we got it figured out, He just lets us know we don't. But again, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Jesus took the full measure of stripes for us to have the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He lost every ounce of life, every ounce of life within Him, so that we could have the fullness of life. And Jesus came not that you would have just life, but have it abundantly. Or some verses say, to the full. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for. That you may have eternal life, that you may have life, but have it to the full, to overflowing. How much time do I got? I think my... Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6. And if God would give this gift to them then, why wouldn't He give it to you? He said the promise were for as many as the Lord our God calls. So we can't say it was done away with at some point in the past. I sure hope that the gifts hadn't stopped coming, especially the degree of the Holy Spirit. Because if it has, that means the time of salvation's ended and He stopped calling. Because He said that promise for all who are called. So I hope it hadn't stopped, because if it has, we're all condemned and there's no hope for us. Those who are called, it's all done. If it was done away with, and for whatever AD they say. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Woo! Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith of God. Instruction about baptisms. Oh, wow, that word's plural, isn't it? Does it read plural in your Bible? Because it does in the Greek. And if yours doesn't, then they just mistranslated. It says baptisms. There are multiple baptisms. They're not just the baptism in water. There's a baptism in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They also baptized them in oil and with light at that time. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is one of those baptisms. Let's keep reading. The laying on of hands. Well, how did you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost sometimes? You got it through the laying on of hands. These are elementary teachings. We shouldn't be having to lay these foundations again. We should be talking about the heavenly realms and how to war in spirit. We should be talking about things that people, when they come in here, think we're in the Matrix. You did what? You set off the EMP wire? Praise the Lord. Some of y'all got that. But laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. All right. Get your ears ready. Like I got a little Jack Russell. When her ears, she got those ears, you know, they're just big floppy. Get them ears up. Verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly Doria, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted of the goodness of the Word of God and the powers, the dunamis of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. The Doria of the Holy Spirit comes because of the sacrifice of Christ. So if you receive it and you turn away, no repentance remains for you, because you have re-crucified Christ in your actions. Because you got the Doria because of His sacrifice. Hadn't I been saying the whole sermon, the Doria of the Holy Spirit is a sacrificial gift. You get it because of the sacrifice. You don't get it because you're better than somebody else. You get it because of the sacrifice of Christ. So if you turn away from that baptism in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and you go back out and you live in the world, no sacrifice remains for you, because you're crucifying Him all over again. Something else I want to highlight. Again, I can't stress that enough. You got it because of His sacrifice. So by turning away from it, you are rejecting His sacrifice. This verse confirms that the Doria is the sacrifice, sacrificial gift. Now, verse 4, 6-4 here. Have tasted the heavenly Doria, who have shared in the Holy Spirit. Now, some of your versions, and you can raise your hand if this is what yours says partakers in the Holy Spirit. Okay, you must have King James, New King James, something like that. The Doria is how you become a participant in the Holy Spirit. Y'all didn't get that. I would at least heard it 4 or 5 amens. Doesn't mean you ain't saved. Doesn't mean you're not going to be with Jesus when you die. Doesn't mean that. To become a participant in the move of God, you've got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because all the gifts flow from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, God can manifest a gift on a person occasionally if they're saved and they don't know anything else. I could understand God doing that. I could see that. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the outflow. The gifts start popping out. Oh, you just interpret dreams, interpret visions, lay hands on the sick and see Him healed. All kinds of different gifts start popping out. Would you were baptized in the Holy Ghost agree with that? They start outflowing. It's a lot different than when you're just saved with a seed. Trust me, I can remember the difference. Didn't make me better than anybody else, but I know the difference. I've tasted that the Lord is good. Listen to what else He says here. Let's keep reading. You see, every time this Greek word Doria is used, He's giving you clues about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Verse 5, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God. You see, the baptism of the Holy Ghost allows you to receive that rhema word, the goodness of the Word of God. Come on. It allows you to consume and digest things that you might not have otherwise seen in the Word of God. Woo! And the powers of the coming age. That's the dunamis that we referenced from Acts chapter 1. That's the dunamis in the Bible. Woo! And I've got a few minutes. So I want to ask you one question. Who is your Father? Who is your Father? Because I'm going to tell you something about my Father. I'm going to tell you a little something about my Father. He made a promise to me. He made a promise about a baptism into the Holy Ghost. He made a promise about a covenant where He would put His Spirit in me and His words would flow from me and not my own words, where my mind would be unfruitful and His mind be alive and active in me, where the mind of Christ would be alive. You see that the seed comes from the Father. What seed do you have in you? I know I've got the seed of the Doria of the Holy Spirit because I speak in new tongues. You see, there's a seed of Satan. There's a seed of the world. There's a seed of man, but there's the seed of God, and He is the Father. And if this promise is from, if your Father is the Father in heaven who has spoken these things in this word, then this promise shouldn't be hard for you to digest. But if you have trouble with this promise, if you refuse to accept it after it's presented to you the right way in God's love, I'm here to tell you, you need to wonder who your Father is. You need to wonder whose seed you got in you. I've got the seed of God in me, the word of truth. I know I do. That's not to boast or brag, but that's to brag about a God who can put His seed in you, because the miracle of God is God's seed living in you. and manifesting his own life in you. Because children become like the parents. They look like them in the natural. So in our lives, when the seed of the Father is in us, there's going to be a manifestation of him. There's going to be a manifestation of his offspring. And if Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, was filled with the Holy Ghost without limit, then guess what you better be doing as an offspring of God? You better be seeking to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And if you're here today and you'd like to receive this promise, you don't have this promise, I'm telling you right now, we'll pray for you to receive it. If you'd like to come down front, we'll pray for you to receive it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you, God. We give you, God, the glory, the praise, the thanks, and the honor for it all. Lord Jesus, I just want to ask right now, God, you'd move on the hearts of the people here. There are people here, God, who want more of your Spirit. God, they're crying out, Lord Jesus. Give them the courage, Lord Jesus, just to get up and I want more of him. This is not about, oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, there are people crying out in their hearts. I can sense it. Right now, they want more of you. They're tired of where they're at. They don't want the life that they've been living. Praise the Lord. They want an extra measure of your Spirit. They want more of you, God. When people come this way of life, it's because they want more of you. Lord Jesus, I'm praying right now that you would just confirm this word in their hearts, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're here today and you want to receive this promise, you can